You're listening to The World's Talking with Dave O'Grady. Don't forget, if you have a story, an internet forum, a discussion you want to have, email theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to click like on Facebook, like on Twitter, like on everything, and we'll chat to you then. Very welcome along to Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. I'm delighted to have a brilliant spread of fans from across the country, and of course our special guest making his debut on the programme, Colin Regan, former Leitrim footballer. Colin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave.
Colin, firstly, I just want to make a point about Off the Booze and On the Ball initiative. It seems like a terrific initiative. I know it's starting more so in January, but has there been a good uptake for this?
Yeah, already we have clubs from 27 different counties registered on GAA.ie for this, Dave. So we're delighted with that. We just have the last few counties that we're trying to get on board, and we'll have the full geographical spread. There's been a real interest, not just amongst the clubs, but I think amongst the wider community and the media as well. There's been some good debate going on around the whole initiative and about the Alcohol and Substance Abuse Prevention Programme in general, which is driving this for the GAA.
Yeah, just coming to Graham on that, it seems like a good initiative. I know you, Graham, probably heard of it happening across the clubs in Cork, but do you think there had been a problem, I suppose, with alcohol amongst club members of GA clubs, perhaps down your way?
Absolutely. I suppose the club is parcel of the community, and you go to any GA function, or be it underage or minor or under 20 or anything, and they're all held at GA clubhouses, and they're all alcohol related. And any good inter-county club manager now will order his players to give up or cut down on alcohol. So, I mean, as I said, nothing annoys me more. I actually worked behind the bar in a GA club for a while, and nothing annoys me more when you have minor teams celebrating, winning a county, and they're going mad into drink, and that's the time then where you see fellas dropping out at GA level. You know, they get a taste for the good life, and by the time they hit 19 or 20, there's a huge fall off in players playing for clubs,
Yeah, I'd imagine, Colin, that there's a problem in the sense that, that's what Graham was saying. It's something you guys are trying to rectify to stop clubs having that problem where they see perhaps a lot of the younger club members and perhaps reduce the amount of alcohol-related functions at the clubs.
Definitely, that would be what Graham mentioned there is one of the points that we have included on the drug and alcohol policies that we're getting every club in the country to adopt at the moment, is that no underage event at all of any club should be held in a licensed premises if at all possible. But what Graham mentioned as well about the fall off at that crucial age of minor, I was at an event in Ennis this night. It was the Clare launch of Off the Booze and On the Ball, and our guest of honour at it was a young Tony Kelly, who's the minor hurler of the year, and just a fantastic young sportsman. And Tony was speaking about the kind of peer pressures that lads his age face from friends that mightn't be prioritising sport in the way that he is. And he says it is difficult sometimes at that age. And thankfully, he says he's had a lot of great role models in Clare hurling and football, and it's made him realise that if you want to reach the top level at sport, you have to make sacrifices, and that there includes around your social life and prioritising your health and fitness. I suppose it is important to say that the GAA is only reflective of Irish society in general, and the fact that alcohol consumption within GAA clubs, it's not just because they're GAA clubs, it's because we're Irish people, it's as simple as that. But any step that the association can do to improve education around alcohol, and then to put in the correct kind of policies and frameworks that minimise the effects of alcohol misuse, and then I think that's a positive.
Yeah, okay, but that's a fair enough point. I want to talk, lads, a little bit about injuries and, injuries in the game and player burnout. We see a lot of cases where a player that might be particularly young players at under 21 level, it seems to be a real killer for a lot. Coming to you, Donal, do you think that that there's unfair pressure put on the younger players, which is causing them to pick up injuries. I'm going to come to Colin on this regarding his own injury a little later, but for yourself, Donal, do you find that the GAA and a lot of clubs and that there's unnecessary pressure on younger players and it is causing more injuries in the game and perhaps, you know, injuries that are finishing the careers of young lads?
Well, I don't know if I would say that it's unnecessary pressure necessarily. I think what you have is that obviously younger players, they would have, in general, I suppose they'd have a slightly higher level of fitness and they'd have more energy maybe, you know, and that I think also it's a sign of that, even though GAA, they're amateur sports, but like there is a very professional level of performance expected from players, and I think the better you are and the more professional you are, the higher the risk of injuries. And I suppose it's an unfortunate part of the game. And, you know, as a Cork football fan, you know, I know all too well how much we were affected by injuries last year.
Yeah.
By some of our better players. But I suppose, look, it's part of the game now. And you know, if you are a good, fit, agile player and the more you run around and the better you are, the more liable you are to be in for tackles and everything else. And I suppose generally the better you are and the faster you are more liable to serious injuries. And I suppose it's just part of the game, unfortunately, now.
Yeah, I want to actually bring that point to Damien. And Damien, you're a good Armagh man, but no doubt you've seen a lot of young players in the county coming up over the years that have suffered injuries that have really kind of ruled them out, or maybe they've not gotten back to the stage where they should be. And would you experience a lot of player burnout up there as well?
Oh, look, there's no doubt about that. When we look at Ronan Clark from Armagh, who's probably ended his career due to an injury, it is a problem, particularly with young people, because my own daughter got injured last year, and she had to go through an MRI scan. Lucky enough, she didn't have to go through an operation, but it's very, very hard to get them back playing football. And if they get a little twinge, or there's something wrong with their knee or their ligaments or whatever it is, then you have to work on their head to get them back. Look, you're okay. It's hard to get back into football. But I suppose another point, when you look at the good players, they're playing for their schools, they're playing for their colleges, they're playing for their clubs, they're playing for their counties. And all the managers, they're training them at different levels, they're doing different types of work at each time of the year. And like the good class players, you know, they should be looked after and they should be given an opportunity. Okay, come to the training, but you want to kick the ball, do a bit of kicking, don't do the heavy graft some of the other guys are doing, because, you know, they've already done this with their school or with their college, and we have to look after our players. Player burnout, it's a new thing, and it's probably to do with all these sports psychologists. The problem is, once they start getting injured, that's the problem. And then when we go and get somebody injured, particularly a club player, you have to go through the insurance, then the club has to pay the insurance, and if you have five or six players, which your own club has had this year,
yeah,
that's maybe 20 grand you're paying out, and it's tough going, I can tell you.
Okay, yeah, Colin, because I remember speaking to you before, and you told me, you know, when you were at the prime of your career with Leitrim, you always had that dream of, you know, walking the stairs in the Hogan stand and perhaps one day receiving an All-Ireland medal. You know, a lot of young Gaelic footballers would have that similar experience. You know, how difficult is it for, I mean, you suffered a pretty horrific injury that kind of ruled you out. How difficult is it for people who do pick up injuries at young age, especially when they have those type of dreams and aspirations?
Well, I suppose, Dave, I suppose Connacht would have always been our All-Ireland, I suppose, and that was we always felt that was a realistic goal for a Leitrim team. Unfortunately, we haven't done it since 94, but like, when an injury ends your career, it depends really on how much you identify yourself with your sport and with your physical ability. Sport has always been a massive part of my life, absolutely huge. Not just Gaelic games. I played soccer to a fairly high level. I played hockey to a provincial level with my school, and anything really I could get my hands on. And then in February 2010, I suffered a fairly horrific injury, a dislocated knee, and I ruptured both my cruciate ligaments, my posterior, my anterior, and my medial ligament in one go. So that ended my career. I was laid up for 4 months. in a full brace before and after surgery. And it actually caused, funnily enough, it kind of caused me to completely reevaluate my life, not just in my sporting life, but my entire life. And that I'd made the decision to go back to college and study a master's degree in UCD and move my career into the sporting field.
Yeah.
I had worked as a journalist for the guts of 12 years prior to that. And when I realized that I wasn't going to be able to engage with sport to the degree that I would like to have anymore, I decided to move my career into that area. And I know we mentioned when we were talking before, like in my class in UCD, I had three Leinster rugby players, Bernard Jackman, John Fogarty and Ronnie McCormick, all of whom had their careers ended for various injuries the previous season. So we spoke about it a lot, and we even covered particular areas like that in the master's degree. And it's been proven that for a player who has their career ended for circumstances beyond their control, say from injury, that they are much more prone. This would be international studies done in Australia and America, that they would be more prone to struggling with moving on in their lives, and even with acceptance and issues around mental health. So, you know, it really does depend on how strongly, first of all, you identify yourself as a footballer or a rugby player or a hurler,
yeah,
whatever your chosen sport is. I suppose I was always quite lucky that I kept one good eye on my career all the time as well, and felt I had the adaptability to change that when the need arose.
Indeed, yeah, it's unbelievable there listening to you, Colin, how all this is linked, and you mentioned mental health and that. Owen, I just want to come to you on this point. People are mentioning about, you know, pre-season tournaments such as the McGrath Cup and other, say, colleges tournaments like the Sigerson Cup. A lot of people are suggesting that those perhaps should be scrapped. What do you think about that idea?
I wouldn't agree with that at all, Dave. I think these pre-season tournaments are very important, considering especially how serious inter-county teams take the league now, and the league is a realistic goal for teams starting out at the start of the year. And before, it was all about championship, and now some guys are putting the championship in the back burner and concentrating on the league. And the Sigerson, maybe it could be moved in the year, but it's a great competition I wouldn't like to see get rid of. It's going to be hard on the UCC guys there. They've been training up to this week, and they're back in Sigerson Cup next month. But look, young guys love playing football.
But what about the point on, you know, that, say, you know, if you are, say, a 20-year-old young footballer and you happen to be very gifted, like I remember speaking to Dublin footballer Paddy Andrews a couple of years ago, and it was at the time where he had been playing Sigerson Cup. He had been playing under 21 for his club and senior for his club, while also under 21 for the Dublin footballers and senior football for Dublin. I mean, he was telling me he was delighted to get that year finished and put that behind him. And when he actually grew above 20, the age of 21, you know, do these tournaments not just, you know, weigh players like that down?
True, Dave, but for every Paddy Andrews, there's a guy who's only football is Sigerson Cup, maybe, and maybe he can't make any other teams. Maybe he's not on the county under 21s or minor team, or he's not making his club team. And to be honest, the managers really have to sit down and have a chat between them, but the players have to take responsibility too. A lot of these young lads are playing other sports as well. Look, you can be injured just as easy at work, out after a few pints, walking down the road. It is a contributor, but look, the player has to stand up for himself a lot of the occasion too. And I think the GAA are moving steps in it, but you can't start moving competitions first. No one's forcing you to play the game, and no one's forcing you to play all these games. So again, down to the player, I think.
Yeah, you have to admire that hard line there, that hard line view from Owen. Donal, would you agree with that one?
I suppose I'd be kind of split in that. I think certainly the Sigerson Cup and the Fitzgibbon Cup and the hurling, they certainly have a place. And for I think there's maybe potentially debate further on about the role of colleges in county championships. And certainly I think for colleges, competitions like Sigerson and Fitzgibbon will be very important. So I certainly wouldn't be in favour of moving them. But I would think that my personal opinion is that because of the way that, I suppose, provincial championships have been so diluted down the years, I think possibly there's an argument for maybe replacing these pre-season tournaments with the provincial championships as standalone competitions. I personally think that would be a better way to go about it, but, you know, I realise that's a long way away yet, but, you know, I just wonder, having a separate tournament again to the Munster and the championship, I don't know if the provincial championship should maybe take over from the cups and maybe slightly modify the time frame of the season to allow for that period at the start of the season where you play provincial championships.
Okay.
And then move on to a different format for the championship.
But Donald, sorry to interrupt you there, but you're going to have to face Kerry sometime anyway, so you may as well get it out of the way early in the season.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one. I want to put that to Damien now. Donald was mentioning, you know, the possibility of replacing these pre-season cups with, say, a standalone provincial tournament. The Ulster Council would certainly mull over things like that.
Oh, look, there's no question about it, because, you know, the McKenna Cup up here in Ulster is the lifeblood of the Ulster Council. A couple of years ago, Armagh and Tyrone played in Casement Park. There was 20,000 people at it. You know, we love the football up here, and we're counting the days down to the McKenna Cup starts in early January. You know, we haven't had any football here over this last couple of months. And as far as the ban goes in November and December, it's, well, that's another story for another day. I think, you know, if you ask any student, third level student who's played Sigerson football, they tell you that's the toughest, hardest football they've ever played. They make lifelong friends out of it. And I would say, you know, the Sigerson Cup has to remain. It's one of the prime, probably the GA probably doesn't put enough emphasis on it. You know, they push the club championships from now to February out of the road, and then they bring them in on St. Patrick's Day. I think the GA could look at that and maybe change the thing around a wee bit that way. But the Sigerson Cup and the Fitzgibbon Cup, they have to be standalone competitions. Absolutely fantastic. I love the pre-season, the pre-league ones, because the way the league goes now, I think it's brilliant. It gets you out of the house, gets you away from the turkey, and gets you away from the girlfriend or the wife or whatever. Football and enjoy it. I know up here we're counting the days now. We're going to be playing down in a couple of weeks' time, and we're counting not even the hours, we're counting the minutes to have another go at them. That's what it's about, you know. That's the way we look at it up here in Ulster anyway.
Okay, yeah. A quick point, final point from you on this one, Donal.
Yeah, well, I suppose just, first of all, in relation to Owen, we've no particular problem about playing Kerry. We're always looking forward to it. But I do understand that they maybe have a place, but that they only have a place because the provincials are tied into the general All-Ireland structure at the moment. And if you look at the way that a lot of counties are treating the provincial championships, you know, maybe that needs to be looked at. And look, if you do need to reform the provincial championships, something has to make way. And I suppose for me, I would rather have the provincial championships in the slot of the pre-season tournaments, but that's my own personal opinion.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fair enough. I want to turn our attentions to the retirements for Cork. Obviously, Graham, you know, John Miskela, he's retired from all levels of football after receiving medical advice to quit the game because of a chronic groin injury. It's a big blow for Cork, isn't it?
Yeah, bit of a surprise with John Miskela. I thought he would have hung on for another year. I was talking to one of the Cork players there around September time, and he was hoping that he'd stay on for another year, maybe as an impact sub. He's had a lot of serious injuries for Cork, and he's never really got a proper run in the team. He was a bit of an enigma in a Cork jersey, really. It was a sub in 99, kind of came into the team then, maybe in the early noughties, but was never in the team permanently, really, until kind of Conor Coonan came in. And, you know, we never really got to see the best of him in a Cork jersey. Very talented footballer, probably a bit unlucky in that he was very versatile, never nailed down a proper position. An All-Star, I think, last year. The other one, I suppose, isn't really a surprise. Anthony Lynch was carrying serious injuries over the last couple of years, and very sad not to see him even line out, I think, the year.
A great servant to Cork, in fairness, Graham.
fantastic servant, Teague Tough, cornerback, wasn't the biggest of men. I've often seen him walk around town and surprised how small he is in a suit. But a great servant to Cork football. Talk maybe that he might get involved in the background situation. But wouldn't be surprised if there was one or two more went as well. A lot of mileage on the clock there. Not exactly sure what Graham Canty's position is. Very little talk about the footballers actually on the papers here in Cork since they were beaten by Mayo. More talk about the hurlers, and I suppose that's the Jimmy Barry Murphy thing, but nothing at all been spoken about the footballers, not even mention of panels or who's in the panel or who's off the panel. So it's hard to know, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was one or two more might call it a day as well, you know?
Okay, yeah, I want to go to Colin on this, and, you know, we see how much of a big blow this is for Cork and that, but just the way the game is going, Colin, and the way, you know, it's all about fitness and tactics and everything, do you think the way the game has gone, a lot of players tend to retire from inter-county, both football and hurling, I suppose, from a lot younger age because they can't seem to, as they get older, would it be fair to say the game's not really suited for, I guess, a more mature player, the way, you know, fitness and that is going?
It's a young man's game, Dave, that's for sure. Like, and I think it works both ways because players are joining senior panels now at much younger ages as well. Like, look at the likes of John O'Loughlin there, who was playing for St. Bridget's Dublin at the weekend against his native Portlaoise. Like, John is only, I think he's only 22 years old, and he seems like he's been around forever already. He's a dual player. He's been playing with college, club, under 21, and senior. And at inter-county level as well. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got lads that have given, once you've given 10 years in inter-county team, you know, that's a phenomenal bracket to reach in this day and age. Very few inter-county panel members now will be married men, and it's not a coincidence. It's about making decisions and pursuing with a single-mindedness your inter-county career at this stage. Like, I'd say those two boys, like Anthony Lynch was one of them, I thought he was just one of the best footballers that has played over the last 10 yeah. years. And Minskala as well. Their retirement, the really sad thing for me with that was the fact that they won't be, I'm not sure with Anthony, but I know with Minsk, he's not even going to be able to play club football, and that's a huge loss to the club, because when those lads have been focused on the county, there's no doubt that your club, it suffers because of that. Like, it's a dual-edged sword. You bring back the experience that you gain from inter-county level and the level of intensity that you play at, but you are also missing for significant periods of the season as well. And I was reading Minskala saying that he was disappointed because he had been looking forward to giving a few good years to the club. And I know I had been of the very same attitude myself. I was looking forward to kind of the last few years of my career being focused solely on the club, and to have that taken away is difficult. Mm. But any player now who reaches that decade at inter-county is doing extremely well, not just because of the pressures and demands and constraints that puts on them, but because at some stage you start looking at the other elements of your life as well, girlfriend coming to play, and, you know, obviously starting to raise a family or something when you get into your 30s as well is obviously a priority that needs to be looked at as well.
Yeah, how about that, Damien? You know, there's other priorities in your life when you get into your 30s, and that's a major factor into why a lot of players are retiring earlier these days.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about that. And I suppose there's probably a lot of pressure put on managers by the press. You know, he's over 30, he's too old and all this. You know, it's hard to beat experience. I can tell you, I've seen McConville quit too early for Armagh, in my opinion. But just on the GAA point, there's a man up here, he comes from Wexford, called James Doyle. Now, James has Cronin's disease, and James is a handballer. He's 27 All-Ireland titles. And James lost the sight of his left eye last year in a one-wall competition. This year, in I think it was in Mayo, James is back looking to go again at the championships this year, and he's flat out training. So, you know, you have one extreme and then you have the other. So
incredible, yeah.
I mean, the guy is just an unbelievable athlete, and he's just a fitness fanatic, and he's married, he's two kids. The wee lad, he's only about 4 or 5, and he's a handball champion already. So, you know, it's a cycle, and it keeps going.
Yeah, indeed, it does keep going, and we can remind the listeners that handball is the only GAA sport where you can become a world champion. I want to move things on and look at the club championships, and I want to come to you, Owen, on this, because I know you've been given UCC a lot of stick over the past few weeks there. You've been calling them UCK and that, which is probably a fair enough point considering it is almost a team of a full team of Kerry men, but obviously Dr. Crokes overcame UCC. I think it was 3-14 to 2-10 in the championship final there. How do you see now Crokes going on? Do you think they can do the business?
I think it's going to be a massive game between themselves and Crossmaglen. It's going to be very hard to call. I would have backed Crossmaglen all the year, but after seeing the Crokes the weekend, I think their defence is very, very solid, and there's a lot of history between the two clubs, and it's going to be a real cracker of a game. I think it's really going to kick off the season as a big game, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I want to see what these boys have in line for the Gooch and Co.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one. And just Graham, a point on UCC, obviously you're a proud Cork man. Anything you could say to defend them? Where do they go from here? Is it disappointing having, a lot of people are saying that colleges shouldn't be in county championships, but they proved to be a good outfit, albeit all the Kerry men in the side.
No, I was impressed with them in the first half. I mean, they took the game to Dr. Crokes, but unfortunately the goals for Dr. Crokes, the two goals in a minute, killed them off. I see there on the examiner yesterday that some of the lads now are going back to early morning training for the Sigerson, which is, you know, it's tough going, you know. You know, there's talk of them again. Cork County Board AGM is on now, I think the weekend after next, and, you know, there'll be talk about allowing them in the championship and all this carry on. They came out of a round robin system in Cork this year. They were thrown in with the divisional sides. I think they're going back to straight knockout now next year. So the round robin system probably suited them to a certain extent, in that certain days they would have a lot of players missing. Where if it goes to knockout championship, it might be a little bit harder for them if they're, you know, they're, it's in the lap of the gods really what teams they put out on certain days, whether players are away or on holidays or away, you know, foreign, working for the summer. So, you know, it might be more a bit difficult for them to win the county championship in Cork next year.
Yeah, and just a final point on this Crossmaglen Dr. Crokes game to yourself, Damien. Owen said he'll be really interested to see in what the Crossmaglen boys have in store for the Gooch. Of course, Crossmaglen, Armagh and Ulster champions.
well, all I can tell you is that, you know, Crossmaglen are something else. We played the under-21 championship a couple of weeks ago and they beat us by a point. The senior team was training. They finished their training. They come up the field. They stood and watched it. Aaron Kern and Dunwater by for the under-21s. But I can tell you, lads, Crossmaglen are going to win the All-Ireland. No question about it. They are as close to a county team. And I can tell you, you would nearly put them up there with the top 10 county teams in the country at the minute. The way they play football, Tony McEntee has them playing unbelievable stuff. The quicker they get the ball into the forward line, and you have Jamie Clark and Oisín McConville. They talk about Oisín, you know, every time he gets the ball, he can get a score. And then you have Jamie Clark. Take your eye off him for 1 second, the ball's in the back of the net. And, you know, he reminds me an awful lot of the Gooch when the Gooch was a little bit younger. Still is very young. I can tell you, it's a game we're looking forward to up here, and I fancy Crossmaglen's to lose. I can't see them getting beat, and it gives me great pleasure to say this to our Kerry friends. Crossmaglen going to march towards an All-Ireland, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Colin, to come to you, obviously your county, Leitrim, a neighbouring county to Roscommon, who were beaten by Crossmaglen last year. How do you see this one going? Two different styles of football.
Yeah, it's probably the side that'll produce the end All Ireland champions. I would imagine. All right, the similarity between the Gooch and Clark actually is a good one, because both players have that ability, that elusive ability to turn off either side, and that's just a nightmare for any cornerback trying to do their job. Crossmaglen just have, they are unbelievable. They're worthy of a full study by, I don't know, some sporting body should take it on, and whether you can break it down, you probably can't, and that's the joy of them, that's the beauty of Crossmaglen, to achieve what they have achieved. I was speaking to Jean just a couple of weeks ago. He was one of the guests of honour at the launch of Off the Booze and On the Ball, and he was saying, like, it's a combination of just that knowledge that they know how to win, combined with the fact that the young guys coming through are so afraid of being the team or the generation that does end the winning run.
Yeah.
They're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that that doesn't happen. And that's almost a unique combination, having the knowledge in your own ability and to be able to combine that with a fear of losing in a positive way. Will Crokes be able to match them? I didn't get a chance to see Crokes at the weekend. I believe they were very impressive. And it should be just a fantastic match. On the other side, then we have St Bridges and Dublin going up against Gary Castle to see who goes up against St Bridges or Roscommon. And that'll be an interesting match as well. Two very different teams. Gary Castle pulling over a very, very young Athy side that hopefully will be there for some time to come. I think they had 11 under 21s or something like that. Gary Dolan marking his return with a goal to seal the game.
And of course, Colin, you know, obviously they won in circumstances that they wouldn't have liked, you know, perhaps overshadowed by violence, but it is fair to say they do have a formidable side. As you said, it's a lot of young players and they've been playing with each other for all their lives.
Oh yeah, definitely. You don't get as far in the competition that any of those teams are without having a good team. It's as simple as that. What it comes down to now, once you reach the semi-final stages, experience is the most telling thing. And the two most experienced sides are on the one side of the draw in Crossmaglen and Crokes. So I think that we will see the eventual winners come from one of those two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. A lot of people are saying Bridgets versus Bridgets. Obviously, Bridgets of Roscommon versus Bridgets of Dublin in the semi-final. Maybe that will be a mouth-watering clash. And also, some people are suggesting that would Crossmaglen actually beat Armagh the way Damien was going on. Just a final point, lads, before I close the show. Coming towards Christmas, there's a lot of stocking fillers out. And Damien, especially a lot of GAA stocking fillers out. A lot of people seem to really go wild, and they do tend to buy the GAA DVDs and the books. Almost every famous player will have a book out this year. You know of a few good books on show.
Yeah, there's no question about it, but there's a cracking book out at the moment. It's about the history of the Seagulls and all about the Seagulls in football, and it's done by a crowd up here in Belfast. And if anybody's looking at a copy, somebody gets in contact with me. It's a cracking value. It's about £17. It's a super book. Gives phenomenal history of the whole competition throughout the years, all the great players and everything that played in it. Absolutely brilliant. And of course, Joe Kernan's book's out at the moment. It's another great read, but there will be lots, and I suppose from a GA point of view, we'll have to buy a few and turn the light off and keep the wife away and just start reading and get plenty of information for the coming season, because it's not long around the corner.
Yeah, well, look, to keep the wife away, we've heard a lot of wives talk about wives on the show this evening. Well, I want to thank Graham in Cork, Owen in Kerry, Donal in Cork, Damien in Armagh. Damien, I almost said you were from Down, but in fact you're married to a Down woman, so but you wouldn't cross over that side of the fence.
No, that's as close as it gets.
And our special guest tonight, Colin Regan, former Leitrim footballer, on promoting the Off the Booze and On the Ball campaign. Thanks a million, Colin, for joining us on the programme this evening.
Thanks, Dave, a pleasure.
You're listening to The World's Talking with Dave O'Grady. Don't forget, if you have a story, an internet forum, a discussion you want to have, email theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to click like on Facebook, like on Twitter, like on everything, and we'll chat to you then.